listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend David Peterson, Senior Pastor, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Peterson, welcome to His Time.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Andy.
Glad to have you back. And you shared an article in the Lutheran Witness this month, wrote an article in praise of small talk in the narthex. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Tell us about Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You've been there for some time now, haven't you?
I have. I've been here 16 years.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, it's a great place to serve and very thankful to be here.
Now, you've learned a lot about congregational life, being a parish pastor, and there are many aspects to congregational life. What in your article here, you talk about small talk in the narthex. What are the things that make up congregational life that are important to you as a pastor?
Well, there's just simply the camaraderie. I mean, the word we usually use is fellowship. Pastors don't like to use that word because it's a technical word in the New Testament that has to do with Holy Communion. But certainly when we're just talking amongst ourselves, usually what we mean when we say fellowship, we mean the joy that we have in one another's company and in one another's presence, the way that we comfort one another, really just loving one another and befriending one another. And that really is a more significant part of our life in Christ than I think sometimes we've given it credit for. And some people they're introverts, so they just don't want to visit with people after church. They don't want to make small talk, and they don't want to do those things. And that's fine. I understand that, but the idea behind the article was to push people a little bit to maybe try it and to recognize that there's a spiritual reality here. There's actually a theological concept behind this and something that God has actually instituted and given to us. So it's worth trying to get a little bit out of your comfort zone and befriending the people that you sit with on Sunday or sit around on Sunday morning.
You bring up a good point. The body of Christ, the church, is made up of many people with different personalities and interests. And some of us, as you pointed out, are perhaps more introverted. And when it comes to the end of the service, we hear the benediction and we bolt for the car.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a bit of a shame. And I know I'm not trying to chastise people. I understand. Sometimes people are busy. They have other things going on. But often it's just simply a discomfort with groups or with crowds mm-hmm. or a fear of small talk. And I think some of the things that I try to kind of allay some of the fears, first of all, my experience personally, I mean, in my own talking to people in the narthex and also kind of overlooking this, you know, watching this happen as a pastor, is that narthex conversations are not that intimidating. People actually don't want to talk to you about your religion, so you don't have to really be worried about if they're going to quiz you on the catechism. They're not. They just want to say, how are you, you know, and talk to you a little bit and shake your hand and smile and maybe ask you how you're feeling. They're not going to ask you about, to quote the catechism, they're not going to ask you to give more money. They're not going to ask you to go and be on all sorts of committees and so forth. So it's not that risky. And for the most part, if you're willing to stick around for a few minutes, you don't even really have to do any talking. They will do a lot of the talking, and they'll be happy just to see you. And all of this is not just because we're trying to build community in some sort of generic or secular sense, but again, we're actually trying to or want to enjoy what God has given us in one another. We don't need to build community in the church. Christ has created a community. He has called us together. That's what the word congregation means. The word church in the New Testament is the word gathered, and the word congregate in English means also to be gathered together, to be gathered with one another. So we just kind of want to, you know, embrace that and recognize it. Luther, in his spiritual letters of counsel, in one of them, talks about this to some degree. About he's talking to a friend of his who's an organist who seems to suffer from what we would call today depression. He has melancholy moods that beset him, and Luther wants to encourage him. And he tells them kind of all the standard sorts of things we would expect. You know, cast your cares upon the Lord. Don't be anxious. God loves you. Your sins are forgiven. You know, it really isn't as bad as it seems, which is all good, sound, typical advice. But he also tells him, let the people around you, let your fellow Christians minister to you, not just the pastor, but let your fellow believers minister to you. Let them tell you to that God is good, that God loves you, and so forth. And believe them. Receive the word of God from your brothers and sisters in Christ with a believing heart, Luther says. Let them console you. Let them comfort you. And really interesting, I think, in the small called articles. So small called articles are part of the Book of Concord, part of the official doctrine of the Lutheran Church. And it's really Luther's deathbed confession, even though he doesn't die for 14 years. He thinks he's dying when he writes it. So it's a very kind of important document in that way. And he walks through, he kind of makes his confession. This is what I believe in the small called articles. And then when he gets to, he writes a very short paragraph about the gospel. And then he kind of explodes the gospel in terms of its specificity. That is baptism, the Lord's Supper, the office of the keys, the means by which the gospel is applied to us. But when he's just defining the gospel, he writes, "Now we want to return to the gospel, which gives guidance and help against sin in more than one way." So that's the first thing to notice, that God has bestowed this richness upon us. So it's not just that we receive the absolution, which of course would be plenty in a sense, right? It gives us everything we need. But God gives us the gospel in many ways to sort of hit us in all of these different directions, and he wants us to have all of it. So it's not that we're pitting one thing against another. It's not that we're saying that when you receive the absolution, you've received anything less than the whole forgiveness of sins and the whole Holy Spirit. But you haven't received the full, you haven't received everything. So you've walked up to this wonderful banquet, you know, and you took one piece of cake, but there was chocolate there and there was ice cream there and there was all of these marvelous things. And in a sense, it's all going to get broke down in your body into whatever, I don't know anything about that stuff, whatever your body breaks things down into. But the point is that the experience of it, the way it hits us, the way it affects us, the joy of it is different in each instance. And so it is also with the gospel that's been given to us in more than one way. Luther goes on, because God is extravagantly rich in his grace. First, that is, this is the first way that he gives us the gospel, through the spoken word, in which the forgiveness of sins is preached to the whole world, which is the proper function of the gospel. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of the altar. Fourth, through the powers of the keys. And also through the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and sisters. And then he quotes Matthew 18, wherever two or three are gathered. So you've really got this, I mean, Luther puts really the mutual consolation and conversation of the brethren, it can take place anywhere, right? It can take place on a golf course. It can take place in your living room. But for most of us, when we're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ who we congregate together with, who we gather around the altar with, the easiest place for that to happen is really on Sunday morning, right after the service. And Luther understands that our confessions confess really that conversation, again, the joy that we have in one another, being in one another's presence, receiving the word from God from one another. Luther places this with a list that includes baptism, the sacrament of the altar, the office of the keys, and even the word itself. So it's high praise.
You also quoted from the small called articles, God is extravagantly rich in his grace in your article. How is God extravagantly rich in his grace? What do you mean by that?
Well, again, in the context there, this has to do with what Luther is talking about, is that he's extravagantly rich in his grace in that he doesn't just give us the gospel in one way. And he, again, for this particular article, the focus was how it is that God provides for us through one another and the comfort that we bring to one another. And so he's extravagantly rich in his grace that he doesn't simply say, okay, come to church on Sunday morning, sit in the pew, receive the absolution, hear the sermon, hear the Bible read, say the prayers, receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the benediction, the blessing of God, and then go home. That's already extravagantly rich, but there's more even, that he has actually given us one another. We understand Christ instituted the church, right? He created the church. He gave the church to us. We live in the church. And most of us have probably experienced at some point in our lives when we were sad or feeling sort of lonely and how surprised we were when somebody noticed and somebody cared, when a brother or sister in Christ just simply showed a little bit of compassion. I mean, it's astounding how much we actually benefit, or at least can benefit, from just saying hello to one another. You know, the other thing that sort of goes along with this, and I mean, this isn't in the Bible, but there's been lots of psychology evidence and experiments and so forth that have demonstrated how important touch is. And we know this, of course, in a really sad and horrible negative example. Babies that aren't held end up having horrible, difficult lives because they've missed something. But it's even true, even if you were held as a baby, you don't stop really needing to be touched by other human beings. And that means just, I mean, in the narthex, we can touch one another. And I mean, we're not talking about necessarily hugging, and though that can happen too, but even just shaking hands or patting someone on the back, that show of support again, that concern, that being the brother for one another and loving one another. God is extravagantly rich in his grace, and that he provides in this myriad of ways, and he doesn't leave us alone. One of my favorite passages, and now, of course, I can't think of it, the reference, but it's an antiphon this time of year in the historic lectionaries, and that is, the Lord setteth the solitary in families. I want to say Psalm 145, but I don't think that's right. But this is a beautiful reality. The Lord setteth the solitary in families. That's, of course, the King James. But there is this marvelous reality that we're not alone. So God is extravagantly rich in his grace, and that he's provided us with one another. And so again, I'm just wanting to encourage us to take advantage of it, much in the way that I would say to one of my members who says, if one of my members said to me something like, well, I don't feel like I sinned that much this week, I don't think I need to receive the Lord's Supper, I would say as the pastor, well, maybe you should anyway, because maybe there's sins you've forgotten about or don't know, and what God has promised in the sacrament of the altar is real, and you always need it. So I think it would be to your benefit, right, to come and to receive this. You could sit in the pew and abstain. You're in your freedom. We're not making a law about this. We're not forcing people to take communion, and we're not judging those who abstain from Holy Communion either. But as the pastor, and as just simply a brother in Christ, I'm encouraging people to receive what God wants them to have, right? I want you to receive this because this is what God has given, because he knows what's best for you, and he knows you need the word, you need the absolution, but you need the sacrament also. And in a very similar way, I just want to encourage people to let the church love them. Let the people in your congregation, despite their imperfections, talk to you a little bit. You know, just allow them, and maybe you can do a little talking back, but if you're uncomfortable with that, just stand around for a few minutes and smile and shake a couple hands, and I think you will be blessed, and I think you will benefit from it.
The Reverend David Peterson, Senior Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of In Praise, a Small Talk in the August 2016 issue of the Lutheran Witness. Pastor Peterson, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you, Andy. It was my pleasure.